Most of us are familiar with that Christmas book or TV show, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. And if you remember this show, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, or the Dr. Seuss poem, his book, you'll remember that the Grinch hated Christmas. And the Grinch's great desire was to steal something. But when you think about the Grinch and his hatred, you have to really think it through, because as he decided to go down into Whoville and steal all of the presents and all of the roast beast and the hoo-hash and all of that kind of stuff, and the lights and the Christmas trees and all the trimmings, he stole all of that, but he did not want all of that. He did not want the Christmas tree. He did not want the lights. He didn't want the roast beast. He didn't want anything. He stole all of those things in order to steal something away that was even greater to all those down in Whoville. You know, you think of Satan with Job. Didn't Satan do the same thing? God said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And Satan said, "He only loves you. He only worships you. He only has joy because you have just blessed him and everything in his life goes great." So God gave Satan permission to take away his family, his business, and his health. Satan did not want his family. Satan did not want his business. Satan did not want his wealth. Satan wanted something greater. Satan wanted to take away his joy. Satan wanted to take away his worship, to worship the devil himself. And the Grinch, as he went down into town, had a greater goal than wanting toys and presents and roast beef and hoo-hash and all of that. He wanted to steal away their hearts and steal away the joy in their life. Bottom line, he wants you to worship him. Oh, I would never worship Satan. Are you so sure about that? We live in a world that's ruled by him. And I thought of just a few things we want to go over briefly this morning. Of things Satan wants to steal, but he doesn't want those things. He wants something even greater. The first one, and you have a fill in the blank on your paper there, is salvation. Satan wants to steal salvation. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4 says this, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world," that's the Grinch, Satan, "has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." So we find out right here that Satan, the Grinch, has the power to steal salvation from unbelievers. Now, we can't figure out into the deepest depths of that when it comes to God's sovereignty and all that. We know both are true, so we believe it. But Satan does not want salvation. Satan does not want Jesus. Satan does not want eternal life. Satan does not want forgiveness. He wants to steal that benefit from people. If you remember in the movie The Grinch, just came out, what, 10, 15 years ago? Remember when he had a phone book up on his mountain? And he goes to that phone book and he goes at the very beginning and he says, "Aardvark, Ebenezer, Scrooge." That's tough to say. "Aardvark, Ebenezer," how do you say that? "Ebenezer Scrooge, I hate you." Remember that? Now, you're not willing to admit you watched the movie, right? Jim Carrey, the movie? All right. Listen, class, I worked awful hard this week. Let's give me a little bit of yeah. All right. Remember that? And he just went through the phone book. "I hate you. I loathe you. Hate. Remember that? Okay, forget it. All right, let's just pray. All right. I know you watched it. All right. Do you know who's at the top of Satan's phone book? It's not you. You know who it is? It's Jesus. Oh, you're there as God's child and even unbelievers. But Satan hates Jesus. Satan does not want to live with Jesus forever. Satan doesn't want heaven. Satan doesn't want eternal life. He wants to steal that from others. 2 Corinthians 11 tells us that he can become an angel of light to do what? To fool people. To fool people. You know, I think Satan loves Christmas. Oh, I think it's his favorite time of the year. Don't we sing that? "It's the most wonderful time of the year." I love Christmas. The lights and the songs and all of that. And I even enjoy getting a present or two. Ain't like that. I think Satan loves it. Why? Because for the most part, the entire world is celebrating things. We're celebrating things. It's not wrong to give a gift. It's not wrong to get a gift. But as you look, have you been to Walmart this week? Have you been to any store? Have you got pushed aside? Have you got cussed at? Have you seen people frantically trying to please Uncle Joe and Uncle Bill and Aunt Susie? And if I don't get them this, then I can't get them. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I think he's just rejoicing. The whole world's celebrating things. I'm going to read an interesting verse. You say, would Satan really do that? Do you know that Satan has his own Christmas? Well, you're going to find out. In Revelation, when the two witnesses come and God gives them so much power to declare the gospel and to even kill people on sight, the world hates these two witnesses. Listen to Revelation 11:10. Listen to this verse. In fact, let me go back a second here. God allows the two witnesses to be killed. And so they're laying in the streets, both of them dead. And I think possibly through the internet and through TV, the whole world is able to see these two people dying. Listen to verse 8. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city that symbolically is called Sodom and Egypt, where their Lord was crucified. For 3.5 days, some from the peoples and tribes and languages and nations will gaze at their dead bodies and refuse to let them be placed in a tomb. Now listen to this. And those who dwell on the earth, this is unbelievers, will rejoice over them, and they will make merry and will exchange presents, because these two prophets had been a torment to those that dwell on the earth. Isn't that amazing? In the end times, when these two prophets of God are lying dead in the streets and they won't put them in a grave because they want the world to see, it says that they will make merry and they will exchange gifts. Satan's Christmas. Satan hates Jesus. Satan rejoices when his people hurt, when his people act like the devil. And Satan desires to steal salvation. He desires to blind people. Remember the parable of the sower we talked about? Who snatches the seed? Satan. You share Christ and you witness. In fact, in just a couple weeks, we're going to start that 9-week series, How to Share Jesus to This City and Your Friends and Your Family. Do you know who's going to be fighting you every step of the way? The Grinch, the devil. And he snatches the seed. And sometimes people believe and they look like they're really believers, but they're not. And they're emotional and they walk an aisle and, oh, I want this and I want that. And Satan snatches the seed. And after a week or two, the emotion dies and the thrill dies. In fact, wasn't it a great emotion when we started Living Hope Church? Wasn't everybody just so fired up? But what happens as it gets harder and harder and harder? The thrill and the emotion begins to wane. That's why true believers don't live by emotion. We live by faithfulness and dogged determination. And I have a Savior who died for me, and I'm going to live for Him no matter what it's like. Remember last Christmas in our building, we had no heat? I think Daryl reminded me of that. Remember that? Where we're up here just freezing to death? Wow, it was fun when it started. But when it gets to the nitty-gritty, when it gets to sharing the gospel and people say, I don't want you, don't ever talk to me again. When it gets to being disappointed over people you're ministering to, do you quit or do you keep going? It is Satan is the one that causes those problems. He snatches seeds and snatches seeds. And this world is full of people that think they're on the way to heaven, but they're not. They're not. Well, how do you know? We looked at it last week, didn't we? You look at their life. You look at their works. I love Luke 2:11. Born this day, what? A Savior. Who's who? Christ the Lord. So, he tries to snatch salvation. Secondly, he wants to snatch our service. Our service. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:18. He said, we wanted to come and serve, but Satan hindered us. Paul said, we want to come and serve you, but Satan, the Grinch, stowed away at this point our opportunity to serve. Do you know the Bible says that before the foundation of the world, you were called to trust Jesus, but also before the foundation of the world, you were called to do good works. So not only is our salvation planned beforehand, but the good works you and I are to do are planned beforehand. Isn't that amazing? God has called His children to serve. To serve. That's why Friday night, man, I'm just in here leaping with joy. Look at these sheep in here putting chairs together. Look at them with their screw guns. Look at them with their smiles. Look at them laughing. look at him talking about going and getting some coffee because we thought we were going to be here all night long. I mean, to me, that's just rejoicing because God has called us to serve. But I do want to tell you, it is going to be a joy to be able to store some stuff back here and not have to haul it in and out every week. Can I hear an amen? Oh, man. You know, that, wow, what an awesome blessing. But God has called us to serve. But listen, Satan doesn't want your service. Satan doesn't want your gift of teaching, your gift of serving, your gift of mercy, your gift of administration, your gift of ruling, your gift of loving and giving. God, Satan doesn't want those. He wants to come into your life and steal. Now get this, what's he really want by stealing service? By getting you and I not to serve, he is stealing the benefit other people get from it. Make sense? The Grinch didn't want the hoo-hash. He doesn't want all of that. He just wanted to take away the deeper things, the service. Why did Satan try to keep Jesus off the cross? Remember the temptations in the wilderness? Satan did that to keep Jesus from the cross. Now, there were some other things. It proved he could not sin. We know he couldn't. But he said, I'll give you all these kingdoms. Avoid the cross. He didn't want Jesus on the cross. He wanted to steal the benefit that millions of people would get through Jesus' death and resurrection. And if Satan can keep you and me from giving our lives to serve, he will steal away the benefit these people around you need from your life and your service and my service. If he can get you from not using your gifts and not using your abilities, he will steal the benefit others need that Jesus planned for you to give. You know what happens to us? Sometimes we get so self-consumed. Do you ever think about yourself all week? It's there, isn't it? You just can't get rid of yourself. You know, I can go run 15 miles, and if I turn around, there I am with me. I never can run away from myself. Self is always there saying, I'm here, I want to be first. Don't think of other people. You just think of yourself. God calls us to think of others. Wasn't Jesus our great example? Mark 10:45, what did Jesus say? I came not to be served, but to what? To serve, and to give my life a ransom for many. You know, I was thinking of this, and over the years, I've had a couple of people, especially widows, tell me something that's amazing to me. They have told me that they have gotten up in the morning after their husband has died, and they've gone into their kitchen, and they have made his breakfast, and they have set the plate down on the table, just like they did for many years, and they sit down, and suddenly they realize, he's gone. He's not there. Well, that's gut-wrenching when those ladies told me that. But I got to thinking about that. How many times has God called us to serve, but we're not there? We're not there. And the heartbreak that people are to receive, or the gift of service people are to receive, they're not getting it, but they don't know what they're missing. And if Satan can stop us from being servants of the baby in a manger who was really the King of Kings, he will steal the benefit from others. The third thing I thought about that Satan wants to steal as the Grinch is solitude. Solitude. Any of you ever been in jail? In prison? Don't raise your hand. You've all heard of solitary confinement, right? You know, when you get in there and it's only you and the toilet and the bed and nothing else. You know, when you look at the life of Jesus, you often see him going to that kind of a place, don't you? You see Jesus going up to the mountain, leaving his disciples, leaving his family, and going up there to be alone with the Father. Here's some other figures in the Christmas story. Elizabeth, Mary, Joseph. What was their pattern? Getting away. Mary was known for stopping and pondering all these things in her heart. When Joseph found out that his wife-to-be was pregnant, and he just, I think, was ready. He was going to put her away, divorce her. What do we find in Scripture saying he did? He went away, got by himself, and God spoke to him. It's just part of godly people. They know they need to get alone with God. But Satan doesn't want the solitude. Satan doesn't want the time from God. Satan doesn't want to spend time with Jesus other than to accuse you and me. You know what he wants to steal from that? He wants to steal your growth. He wants to steal the intimacy that you have with God. He wants to steal the worship time with God. Because if he can keep you from going to be with God all alone, you will be a very weak believer. You will be a weak, weak believer. Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3:1, I can't address you as spiritual people, but as people of flesh, babies, infants in Christ. You know, a busy people can be a weak people. We can be so busy, but if we do not get alone with God, and I know down in my office, I got a heater, but it's cold for a few hours. And so what I do is I just lean over right over the top of that heater. And it's me, God, and the heater praying, all right? And sometimes it singes my eyebrows, but no, not that bad. But where do you get alone with God? I need those times. I need to be able to be alone with God where I can say, God, I blew it again. God, all I thought about was me. God, why do I respond that way? God, I'm such a sinner. And many times, or not many times, all the times, those need to be accompanied with being in God's Word. You know, it's next year, next week, right? Or somewhere getting close. We talked about this in our, thank you, Keith. We talked about this in our community group a little bit last week. And I haven't set it in stone yet. And I share this because accountability is good. I am thinking about trying to read through the New Testament once a month this year. 12 times through the New Testament. You know why? Because I'm not in the Bible enough. And I spend all day sometimes reading it, studying it, but I'm not in it enough. Have you made any plans for 2013? I'm going to set aside time for solitude. Because of people that are busy but they don't spend quiet time with God are a busy but weak people. And Satan does not want to spend time with Jesus, but if he can keep us busy, and if he can keep us from praying and going to God and confessing our sin and just telling God how rotten we are and loving him and telling him how much we love him, you will be a weak people. You know the fourth thing? I think satisfaction. If Satan can steal away our satisfaction. You see, the Grinch thought, if I can take away the stuff, if I can just take away the stuff, the trees and the lights and the presents, these who people will get up in the morning and they will go out under the tree, and not only will there be no presents, but the tree will be gone and I'm not going to be happy. There was a picture going around on the internet of a young girl who got some kind of electronic device. I lose track of all of them. iPads, U-pads, Wii-pads, whatever they are. Yeah. And she didn't get the biggest, I don't understand like the megabytes and all that stuff, but she got one that didn't have quite as much size in it. Does that make sense to the computer age? And she's crying. And what the picture next to it showed a soldier or something. Pastor Tim, if you didn't know the story, you shouldn't have brought it up. Is that what you're thinking right now? Well, you get the idea, right? You know, and I love hearing the stories of Christmas past. I hope we hear some tonight at our fellowship. I love hearing our older folks talk about Christmas when they were kids. And I love hearing them say, you know, on Christmas morning we got up and I got an orange and an apple and a candy cane. And man, I was so happy. Convicted yet? It's a different world, isn't it? And Satan, the Grinch, doesn't want the stuff he steals from us, but he doesn't want us being content. If I can take away their things, if I can put a dent in the back of that car they just got, if I can cause one of their kids to walk by and knock over their computer, if I can dent the brand new horn, that's not a brand new horn, by the way, if I can do something, I can take away something greater, their joy, their contentment, because Satan doesn't want our stuff. But he wants something deeper. You know, Philippians 2:14-15 says, do all things without murmuring or complaining. Shine as lights in the world. Paul said in Philippians 4:11, I have learned to be content in all things. Whew. Why do you think Paul had to say, I have learned? You got any ideas? It's a process. Nobody wakes up and says, hey, I've arrived today. It's an absolute lifelong process. You know, Satan will never, ever change. But the Grinch did. You know what the Grinch said? How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. Satan looked at the Whoville people and he said, how could it be so? It came. And though Satan will never change, Satan can look at us, that old Grinch, and say, it didn't work. It didn't work. You know, I know some of our folks in our church who are going through a life change right now. God's changing their life. Wouldn't it be awesome for that old Grinch to look at you, a child of God, and say, how could it be so? They still love Jesus. I took this away, but they still love Jesus. I took their job away, but they still love Jesus. I caused some health difficulties, but they still love Jesus. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. Jesus is glorified when we do that. Do you ever fail? I do. I fail all the time. Because I'll admit it, I'm as self-centered as you are. I love things. Right? See, Living Hope, we're not going to play games. We're going to be honest. It's a battle, isn't it? It's a battle. It's just a battle. Especially when God steps in and changes our life. The last thing, spiritual sensitivity. You say, well, what's that? You know they say the Grinch's heart grew 3 sizes that day? Right? Remember that? Dunk, dunk, dunk. What happened to the Grinch that day? Oh, I think he was saved, right? His heart grew. Now, please, don't go home and get on the internet and say Pastor Tim went whackers. He thinks cartoon characters can be redeemed. Just illustration. But it grew 3 sizes that day. God wants our heart to grow and grow and grow. But Satan doesn't want our spiritual sensitivity. He doesn't want our mercy, our love, our grace, our compassion, our forgiving spirit, our humility. He wants to steal those things from us. He doesn't want them, but he knows if he can steal grace and mercy and love and patience and those things that require spiritual sensitivity, that he will destroy a people that belong to God. He will destroy you. If he can keep you from coming and worshiping with God's people, he is thrilled. Because that's where you get spiritual sensitivity. If he can keep you from being in solitude with God because it spoils and kills spiritual sensitivity. If he can keep you and I from learning and growing to be gracious with each other. To be forgiving when people fail us. To be forgiving when people aren't as perfect as we are. To be loving and gracious when somebody fill in the blank. He laughs in the face of Jesus. And he steals our Christmas. And do you know what's a shining light in this world? When God's people have spiritual sensitivity. When that person at work burned you, but you show love. When that person lied about you, but you show grace. Tough, isn't it? That's why it says we'll shine like lights in the world. 1 Corinthians 2:11, when Paul's talking about that church needs to forgive that believer who repented, he said this, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. Satan loves to destroy God's people. The Grinch also said this, maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. What a shining light to the Grinch that could be as he looks at your life. You know, kids and teenagers, you get up on Christmas morning or whenever you open gifts and, you know, you didn't get that whatever megabyte system. I better learn those terminologies, huh? And you didn't get what you want. And you can live a life where God will say, I am so thankful for that child. Or maybe mom and dad, you didn't get what you want or whatever it is. You can shine and glorify Jesus. And maybe Satan will say, wow, I didn't get them. You know, I think we need a spiritual heartbreaking from time to time, don't you? It's easy to grow cold, isn't it? It is. It's easy to lose that powerful sensitivity of the specialness of the redemption of Jesus. I think from time to time, we need our hearts broken. I get that all the time. By virtue of my position, I get that all the time. I've done like 4 or 5 funerals in the last week, in a week and a half. And every one of them was a lost person. See, I get that. God breaks my heart all the time and reminds me why you're here. I think God needs to put us in situations to where He reminds us, this is why you're here. You don't know how thrilled I am of what God has given us. But folks, this is not why we're here. There's a city of dead people out there that need to hear about Jesus. And we'll water and we'll plant and we'll trust Him for the increase. This is why we're here. We're not here to win battles. We're not here to get our way. We're here to reach people and to encourage believers. But if Satan can steal our love, our grace, our mercy, our spiritual sensitivity, we'll just be a bunch of hard robots. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like him. I don't like her. Folks, I've been in churches like that, and I don't want that. Satan just laughs. And guess what? I can get just like that. It's a constant battle. I thought of a few of these before we land the plane. I know somebody who pastored a church right out of college. Wasn't me. And there was a big church fight in this church in Florida. And so somebody I know, in fact, he told this to me. He worked at the Bible college. And they invited him to come to a big meeting. So here they are in this church. And guess what? They had a real church building. And which doesn't mean anything, right? And so here they are, all upset. And here's this young guy who has been thrown to the wolves. And do you know what this guy told me it boiled down to? Do you know what it boiled down to? A bulletin. It was a fight over a church bulletin. I said, you're kidding me. He said, no, that's what it boiled down to. And I think Satan would say, ha, ha, ha. It does come with boxes and tags and packages. I remember once a person holding a grudge, and this happened before I ever met this person. It was in Illinois. And they held a grudge because at a funeral for their family, another family later on got more food at the dinner for the family than they did. And they held that grudge for year after year after year. And every time somebody in our church would die, they always brought up, well, we got to make sure we do this, because I remember one time when my family died and we didn't get as big a turkey as the other one did. And I'm sitting up there going, God help us. That's how we are. Will you be honest? Isn't that how we are, sinners? I'm the only one. There's a monster inside of us, isn't there? And we hold those grudges. Can you imagine standing for Jesus like we talked about last week? Well, Jesus, hold on. I wasn't going to serve because that family, the Smith family, got a bigger turkey than I did. Can you imagine looking at the King of Kings and telling him that? No? What do you think Jesus would say to me and you if we said that? Did I save you? Well, he won't say that. That amazes me. I knew a man, he's died now, years ago, who would not come to church because the preacher had a beard. Came faithfully week after week, loved the church, loved the preaching. The preacher grew a beard, he quit. That was me. That's a true story about me. I grew a beard. I thought, hey, it'd be cool. Losing it on top, grow it on the side. Right? It gets cold out there with a bald head. He just stopped coming. I went over to his house. Hey, Charlie, missing you. His wife said, he doesn't like your beard. Well, I don't like his face. You know what I did? I shaved it. He died. You know what I did? Grew it back. That's right. You know, and I really like Charlie. I did his funeral. You see, folks, we need to be a people of God who are spiritually sensitive. Spiritually sensitive. And I thank God for you. I know all of us are hurting so much for Richard. You know, we love Richard, and you know, he's got that cold now, and our hearts are just hurting. We just want Richard to get better. That's a spiritual sensitive heart. You know, Betty's going through some tough times, you know, and some life changes. And my heart hurts for Betty. You know, and maybe you don't know some of those, and you know, and others of you that go through trials. And folks, I'm gonna tell you, that's a church where people will walk in and they'll sense that. They'll sense these people love each other. And I shared it on an email this week, and it was Portia shared with me that God opened an opportunity for her to witness to somebody at her job. And I guess she's a new person, and somehow she realized she was new. And so Portia just said, well, where do you go to church? I love that. Where do you go to church? And Portia shared with her and said, man, you need to come to Living Hope. It's like a family. And the lady started to have tears come down her eyes. Man, that's awesome. You know where that stuff comes from? Being spiritually sensitive. And you know, and when we do fail each other, and we do blow it, you just go to that person and you just say, you know what? I blew it. Forgive me. I just blew it. And you know what that person will say to you? I guarantee it. I forgive you. But most of the time, we never do that. We just let it build and build. See, Satan doesn't want our sensitivity, but he wants to destroy when we don't give it. We don't give it. So I think Satan does laugh and say, it does come from a store. Maybe to these people, it doesn't mean anything more. You know, it's something. I'm ready to quit, but it's amazing how I'm so excited. I say, Lord, this is first Sunday. I want it to be so great. And then I get a call. We're going out of town. I get another call. We're going out of town. I get another call. We're sick. I get another call. We got family coming in. I get another call. I'm just like, you're like, this isn't right, you know. And then I came in this morning. It's about 10 till 7. Turned on the heat. That side didn't work. You know, it's like everything. You know, it's like, and as I'm driving off, I turn the radio off. And I said, all right, Lord, I got to talk to you. And, you know, Lord, these are idols of my heart. I want everything to be perfect, but all that doesn't matter. What I need is for you to speak to our hearts today. And so, folks, it's a constant battle. But I want to tell you, when God keeps us spiritually sensitive, he catches us. There are times in elders' meetings when I've had to share with these men. Guys, you know, I wasn't thinking right this week, and I shared them a verse. And I remember one man saying, I'm just glad you see it. I'm just glad you see it. That there's something very special. But if Satan can make us hard-hearted and robots, that's a church I don't want to be a part of. All right, let's land the plane. Well, you know that night in Whoville? That is a real place, by the way. You know that, Whoville? Look it up on the map. No one knew what was going on, did they? There's the Grinch crawling and you know, and jumping down fireplaces and pulling trees down them and all that stuff. Nobody knew what was going on. You know that night in Bethlehem? Nobody knew what was going on, did they? Just a tiny few. A few shepherds, Mary and Joseph. And it's debatable if the wise men were even there yet. They could have come later in the house. It says when Jesus was in the house. Just a tiny handful of people. And then the religious leaders are called by Herod, and they said, where is Jesus supposed to be born? And the religious leaders quoted Micah 5:2. Oh, Bethlehem, they're supposed to be born in Bethlehem, though you be small among the many. Out of you shall come one whose goings forth are from of old. And not one of those religious leaders said, why is the strongest man in the land asking us about the Messiah? Maybe I better go check it out. Doesn't say anything. I think they went back and did whatever they did. Only a tiny few people knew that night, God's plan of redemption that he spoke in Genesis 3:15 was continuing to be fulfilled through his son. You know, maybe you're here today and you didn't have a clue what Christmas was about, but Satan's been stealing it. And you're not a child of God. and you don't have your sins forgiven and you are not redeemed, today is a day of salvation. Repent of your sin. Believe by faith that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Repent and come to Jesus and say, my life is going to change from this day on. Well, I thought that was works, Pastor Tim. No, the Bible salvation is repent of your sin. It always goes together. God opens a heart. There's a repentance of sin. It's not a get out of hell ticket. It's he's my Lord, he's my Savior. That's the change that Jesus brings. Maybe you're here today and Satan has been stealing your Christmas. You haven't had a whole lot of joy this Christmas. Isn't it a busy time? You know, presents and wrappings and cookies and fudge and red presents and wrappings and cookies and fudge. Oh me, oh my. You know, it's a great time of the year. But it's easy to lose the joy. And before you know it, Satan's stealing all these things. And I hope today that he's reminded us as believers that what he's really trying to steal. Because I want to tell you something, God's sheep. I need you. I need you. I need you. You need me. Sorry. I need you. Because God has given you a service to do for me. And God has given me a service to do for you. So the greatest gift under your tree this year is simply your service, your solitude, your satisfaction in the things God has given you, your contentment, and that spiritual sensitivity that all year long we keep giving to others, and so that Satan will not steal our Christmas. Well, let's pray. Father God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the light of the world. Lord, I do ask that at this hour, if there is one here that is not redeemed, I pray, God, that your wind would blow, as John 3 says, and you would open their heart, that Satan's blinding power would be removed, and you would give the gift of life and reveal your Son in them. God, that's salvation. Lord, I pray for those who are here today and they know they're saved, that you would remind them that Satan, that old Grinch, is desiring to steal things from them. And maybe they never realized until the reminder today. I pray, God, that as we sing, each one would maybe bow and say, God, forgive me. And they would confess what sin you brought to mind. And an unbeliever would say, I call upon you for your mercy. Save my soul, that I may live with you forever, responding of what you've done in their life. Heads bowed and eyes closed. And you know, I don't do this a lot, but I wonder today if you're here and you'd say, you know, Pastor Tim, there's some things I've been letting Satan steal from me and I didn't even realize it. And I just want to raise my hand to show God that I love him. And my heart desire is to be content, to praise him and to love him. And my life changes and what he's done in my life. And Pastor Tim, when you pray in a few moments, maybe not by name, but would you pray for me? If that's you, would you lift your hand? Amen. Amen. The bat all over. Amen. Anyone else? God's really challenged me. I want my Christmas not to come just because of boxes, packages, and bags. I wonder if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor Tim, I came in here today unsaved. God opened my heart. You'd lift your hand and say, God save me right now today. Doesn't come from walking an aisle. Doesn't come from signing on a card. It comes from God supernaturally opening your heart and revealing Jesus. Anyone at all like that? Father, we thank you and praise you for your love and grace. Father, I love this church. I love these people. Lord, I know a lot about these people. And some of them know a lot about me. I love them. They are so special to me. They can't even know how special they are. Their faithfulness, their willingness to be flexible. I thank you so much for that gift. Lord, most of all, I thank you for Jesus. God, I'm sure I can speak for all of us because we're all sinners. Forgive us, Lord, when we gave Satan a chance to look at your face and say, yeah, there they are. Their Christmas is nothing but boxes, packages, tags, gifts. God, forgive us. But God, I'm so thankful that you look back at Jesus and say, hey, Satan, look at my thorn marks on my brow and the nail marks in my hands and feet. My shed blood has covered their sin. We praise you and thank you and love you in Jesus' name.